Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth.
On The Advertising Show, Ray Schillens, Brad Forsyth, The Advertising Show brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com and by Captivate Network. You can visit them at captivate.com. It's a Big Radio Midgets production. And always a pleasure to kind of hook up with you here on the weekend or anytime you get a chance to listen at The Advertising Show. A lot of great stuff going on today. First of all, we have an incredibly cool guest. His name is Andy Pierce. He is a senior partner at Profit. And we'll tell you more about Andy and find out more about the company and what they do as well. Also have a brand new sponsor today and want to welcome them. It's OpenAd. OpenAd proud to announce they're partnering with us here at The Advertising Show. OpenAd is America's only globally distributed weekly program. OpenAd recognizes that advertising is one of the most important investments a company can make. They're excited to be with us here. I was looking for some stuff that said about OpenAd. Katarina Scoburn, co-founder and managing director at OpenAd Group, said, "We're excited to partner with The Advertising Show. Look forward to sharing valuable marketing insight offered through their weekly broadcast with our own global audience of clients and creatives." So there you go. You'll hear more about OpenAd as well. And we have a brand new feature here. It's called Activist for Excellence. Shamin Abbas is the host of that. And today she's going to be talking about, as a matter of fact, pretty quickly here, how advertising and PR should work together. Okay, they're not one of the same. They work together, though. And a little bit later on, Gene Bliss, our customer experience. How timely is this, Brad? It's airlines. Expect less, pay more. Boy, what a great slogan that might be for most of the airlines out there as well. So a lot of good stuff going on here today. How are you doing?
Good. And I heard earlier in the week how one airline, I'm not going to mention them because I don't want to promote this, is considering charging people by the pound, not the baggage, but the actual passenger.
Well, they weigh you?
Well, it's rumored at this point. But, you know, the airline industry is ripe for consolidation. I can only hope that they make it through these times, or we're all going to be paying even more for our airfare than we are already. But we'll see. For those that are by the way, Ray, I just want to mention, you mentioned OpenAd.net. They are a creative creative resource based in Europe that log on to openad.net and you'll see all about them. But they're a wonderful resource for talent that is available worldwide. It's a wonderful relationship, as you mentioned, Ray, and we're excited to be a part of that. And we had Katarina Scoburn on the show several months ago. In fact, that's how this whole relationship, as you and I know, Ray, but our audience may not know, but that's how this whole relationship got started. So if you'd like to know more about openad.net, you can even listen to an archive program, which is available through
Sounds like a live spot we're doing here.
It does.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Anyway, I wanted to mention, Ray, Terry Semel, former CEO of Yahoo, as well as Warner Brothers Entertainment, plans to make a run, according to recent rumors, that he's planning on taking a run at a marketing and talent agency known as IMG, very well known. Semel has said that he is aiming to transform IMG into a media company and bolster its digital operation. So if you've got Terry Semel kind of money, I guess you can go acquire IMG.
Okay. Yeah, I'll take a share of that too.
Yeah, really.
Remember Mr. Bill from the television show, the Saturday Night Live?
Yes, yeah. Mr. Bill.
Well, he's back.
Oh, boy.
In one piece, they say, and it's with MasterCard, they found a new poster boy. I guess you call him a poster boy. The small clay figure appeared Saturday Night Live short films 3 decades ago.
Yeah.
Boy, does that make me feel old.
Who's going to remember this, right?
Well, he's being revived as a debt card holder who gets roughed up but keeps on going. 30-second spot runs. Mr. Bill is an urban professional, he is now. on his daily routine, and that's what they're following. So it's kind of cool to see Mr. Bill back. I wonder if the timing is right or whatever. But
it'll be a new spokesperson for some people. The young people will have no clue what.
Well, how
the,
true?
Yeah.
How true. It's so like, maybe that's a downside. I don't know.
Well, it's like my wife who mentioned, the other day that she was very well aware that Paul McCartney was in a band before
Wings.
Yeah. Well, that's what she said. I know he's been in Wings, and she, I didn't want to take her too far back. That's as far back as she goes.
That's enough said now. Okay, yeah. Let's welcome a brand new feature here on the Advertising Show, The Activist for Excellence. It's Shamin Abbas with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
And now it's time for Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional. Now, here's your host, the uncompromising Shamin Abbas.
Advertising and PR, it's not either or. Public relations firms often work with a range of clients on a local and national level, which means they get to run the gamut between working with companies that already have an ad agency cranking out creative and companies who instead just work directly with freelance graphic designers on a project-by-project basis. The fact is that for some businesses, finances create that either-or situation, and the company's profit margins simply do not allow them to have both a PR firm and an ad agency on retainer. But other clients with ready capital need to be educated on how advertising and public relations firms can work together to meet their sales and distribution goals. A truly holistic campaign includes both beautiful and effective advertising placed in the media most likely to reach the target audience, and a concerted PR effort that includes a combination of direct media pitching, grassroots efforts that include events, and other street-level approaches to getting the consumer to touch or experience what you're selling. Consumers are a sophisticated lot, and they recognize advertising even when it's disguised as an advertorial. Conversely, mention in an editorial article continues to carry weight with the buying public, who subconsciously believe that the journalism is impartial. Ads reinforce through repetition, PR reinforces ideals through constant pitching and a wide assortment of angles that engage the reporter to write about the client. Agencies often bring PR firms into the mix to make inroads that advertising just cannot, by putting products in consumers' hands at events, by creating inventive ways to promote the client, and by garnering that coveted editorial coverage that can make a tremendous difference. You could have a great product and advertise it in all the right places, but a single appearance on the Today Show or even a local TV's morning show can make an astounding difference.
You've been listening to Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional with host Shamin Abbas. Shamin is president and founder of Shamin Abbas Public Relations, a full-service agency providing local, regional, national, and international media relations, special event production, and inventive promotion, with offices in New York City and West Palm Beach. To learn more, visit ShaminAbbasPR.com. That's ShaminAbbasPR.com.
Shamin Abbas is the person you just heard there, and the feature is called Activist for Excellence. Welcome to the show. Happy to have you a part of the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth, and our special guest today, who is a senior partner at Profit. Andrew gets around, okay? He's been everywhere from Columbus, Ohio to, San Francisco, lives in New York, works in New York, lives in Boston. So for all practical purposes, he could be elsewhere. Well, we're talking to him right now. We do know that he has a good seat on American Airlines and lots of frequent flyer miles. Andrew is a senior partner, as he said, over 20 years' experience in brand marketing strategy consulting and a senior partner based in the New York office. He's worked a variety of industries, including financial services, automotive, CPG, consumer, retail, with senior management teams at American Express, GM, Hewlett-Packard, Fidelity Investments, and McDonald's, among others. Actually, he was, at that point in his career, Ronald McDonald. Nobody knew that, though.
How would you?
He's been instrumental in improving marketing performance, developing more effective brand and marketing organizations, and creating powerful global brand portfolios. So we'll be talking with Andrew here in just a few moments. What do you have there briefly for me?
Well, very briefly, Google is told to keep out of Minnesota town, Ray, according to the St. Paul, Minnesota suburb of North Oaks is demanding that Google Maps remove images of the homes in the community from the site's street view feature. The city claims Google is trespassing. North Oaks is believed to be the first U.S. city to ask that street images be removed. So if you're from North Oaks, you realize you're very paranoid. You don't want Google there with the street maps. Come on. Get a life. Get a life, folks.
Or get with the 21st century.
Yeah, I don't get that.
Exactly. Yeah. They can almost photograph you in the hot tub there. Well, as a matter of fact, they can.
Well, that's right.
Back with more in just a minute.
Here comes another typical commercial. I could get your attention by blowing a foghorn. Or maybe an awesome scream. But even that doesn't cut through the clutter enough to really captivate your attention. If you're an advertiser and you really want your message to be heard, then reach for the golden nugget of advertising. It's what's called a captive audience. One company delivers this much sought-after captive audience. And believe it or not, it's just the people you want to reach, business professionals and decision makers. It all happens in 23 of North America's largest and most progressive markets. And the captive audience is right there in the elevators of select premier office towers. Over 8,000 high-quality video screens get people's attention with what research proves they want, news and information. It's all combined with your branded message in a way that only this captive audience sees and absorbs. Cut the waste in your advertising budget by reaching just who you want to reach. Don't just advertise. Captivate your audience. To find out more, click on Captivate.com.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth.
Another public service announcement from Brill Cream. Men, beware. Use one dab of Brill
Cream. As promised, another great guest here on The Advertising Show, as we do every week. Andrew Pierce is senior partner at Profit. Profit.com is the website, and I'm sure you want to go there. At least do that after the show. We'd like to have you here in the meantime, if that'd be all right. Hey, Andrew, good to have you here. Welcome to The Advertising Show.
Hey, Brad and Ray. Thanks for having me, guys.
Well, our pleasure. And, you know, this is the shameless plug part of the show. We like to offer a few of our special guests, in this case, you, because if you're tuning in looking for Scott Davis, well, Andrew Pierce was happy enough and polite enough to stand in for Scott today, and we appreciate you joining us today. Andy, share with us a little bit about what's been going on at Profit lately. Any breaking news or just some news in general you'd like to talk about, Andy?
Well, I think basically, you know, Profit's we're a small, privately held brand and marketing consulting firm, and we're finding the industry still in a lot of demand for our types of services, which is great. Great news for us. And we kind of live at this intersection of where the management consultants live and the ad agencies, and yet we're really very focused just on branding and marketing topics. So we live in a good space, and the business has been good so far. So far, so good.
Yeah, and your clients would be more on the marketer side, or do you also consult with agencies, brand management firms?
No, we do. We work mostly with the Fortune 1000. Mm-hmm. We've got clients. We've got offices in San Francisco, Chicago, New York, and an office in London and Madrid and Zurich. So we do cover most of the world. And in the Fortune 1000, it's we're mostly working with what we're calling the empowered CMO or chief marketing officers who not only have control over sort of traditional marketing communications budgets and topics, but also those that are increasingly having more control over pricing decisions, product decisions, and even playing a tighter role with the sales organization. So,
well, since you brought up the empowered CMO, I know there's a lot of our listeners that are C-level executives on the marketer side, and many CMOs as well, and I'm sure there are several out there that just heard you say empowered CMO, and as they're nervously getting their resume up to date because they're reading, as we all have, how the CMO life span is short of 2 years nowadays, and it seems like the CMO takes a lot of the hit when it comes to both certainly responsibility for sales increases and market share, et cetera, when of course there's enough blame to be spread around, I think, in the executive suite of most major companies, if not all. So what is an empowered CMO, and how do you differentiate that from your everyday, I would like to call it, very nervous CMO wondering how long he's going to be sticking around today?
Well, guys, I think we're seeing a fundamental shift in the marketing world, where marketers of old, I'd say outside of the packaged goods world where you've got fairly classically trained brand managers, but outside of that world, marketing is becoming a lot more accountable. I mean, marketers are becoming a lot more accountable for what they're doing, and I think some of the short tenure you're seeing in some marketers is again, that notion that either the C-suite or Wall Street or some other power that be is starting to hold the marketer much more accountable for the dollars they're spending and the investments they're making. And if I can't show return on my investment in how I'm allocating my dollars, then oftentimes that's leading to a short tenure. So I think one of the things we're seeing with marketers is the marketers of old have got to start really wearing a broader business hat and having to be much more accountable and much more sort of economically focused so that they can have a seat at the table and be able to talk in the CFO and the CEO's language around the investments that they're making and the trade-offs they're making. So it's a big shift. It's a really big shift, and we don't think it's going away anytime soon. We think marketing as a function within organizations, it has to be more accountable, and just like every other part of a company's balance sheet, marketing has gone for a long time without having to show good return on investment. So
what do you think accountability and in particular ROI pressures, is that coming from Wall Street, or what role has digital media played in accountability? And just curious, what do you source this back to?
Yeah, I think it's a couple different things going on. I think, first of all, there's just in an economy, first of all, we're in different economic cycles, but in the U.S. in particular, when you get into a tighter economy, then one of the first places the C-suite turns to is the marketing budget to go cut. And again, if you're not able to show return on investment, that's a natural place to go cut right away, which doesn't include people and human capital and other things. So that's one event that's going on. And the other, to your point, is digital. So with the growth in digital media, and digital media being a somewhat better way for marketers to track and actually measure a return, so I spend dollars on search or I spend dollars on banner ads, I can actually track my performance there and actually calculate a return. Those two things, I think, in general, are both coming together as a confluence of things and making, really putting a spotlight on accountability.
Yeah, and with brand development and digital media, there's always a struggle between doing brand development type marketing and advertising and being able to justify dollars spent, because sometimes it's hard to quantify brand development as you can other forms of advertising that has a direct influence on market share. What are your thoughts on that, Andy?
It's a wonderful tug of war in the way we've started to see that play out. So what we call it is there's brand building dollars and there's demand generation dollars, and those two have coexisted nicely in most big companies. So I've got a budget where I'm spending money to, quote-unquote, build my brand for the long term. In the meantime, I've got marketing dollars that are oftentimes that sit out in business units that are responsible for driving sales. We're seeing those two worlds starting to collapse as well, where there's, again, less and less patience among C-suite as well as, investors, shareholders, Wall Street, on what are you doing, how are those brand-building dollars, how are they helping you drive the business forward? How are they creating value for you? And it's not to say that they don't generate a return, or they're not brand building dollars can't build value in an organization, but you just have to have the proof points. You got to have the business case to go prove it out. And we've been able to prove it out several times for clients. So it doesn't mean that brand building goes away. It just means you have to have your ducks in a row to prove it out.
And in some cases, brand building sounds like it might be a trip to Vegas for some companies, which is not a good thing. We've got Ray Shillings here and Brad Forsyth on the Advertising Show, along with our special guest, Andy Pierce, Senior Partner at Profit. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
Why do more media professionals read iwantmedia.com? iwantmedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should.
To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
When you say but, you've said a lot of things nobody else can say.
Welcome back. Ray Schillings, Brad Forsyth, and Andrew Pierce, senior partner at Profit, Profit.com, the website as well. Andy, it's good to have you here. Thanks for being part of the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, let's just to wrap up what you were talking about last segment, let's talk a little bit about you mentioned brand building dollars and marketing dollars. I assume, Andy, that there's different metrics, I assume, that you would be gauging ROI for each of those two particular categories. And if so, talk a little bit about that.
Well, there are, and I think one of the frustrating things probably for marketers is there isn't a perfect answer for that, and it really does vary by industry and by client, even within industry.
Right.
So that's a little bit of the frustrating part, because you can't just say, oh, well, here's the formula for calculating return on ad dollars and plug it in. Now, that said, I think, again, depending upon, for us, the way we look at it is we look at the maturity of a brand, you know, what the brand's position is in a given marketplace, the maturity of that brand. We look at a lot of the customer dynamics around that, or customers, you know, trying to understand a customer value dimension of that so that you can see whether I'm spending money on brand building or demand generation activities, and how that's attributing to or can be attributed to creating more customer value. So oftentimes that's a common denominator metric. But then sometimes you're in industries that are intermediated, you know, whether you're in the healthcare space and you're selling through brokers, or if you're and those are harder, because you need to try to correlate and look for patterns in data that look at dollars spent and how that correlates to sort of sales activity or quotes, for instance, and then how quotes will actually make it down a funnel to closing a sale. So it really varies by industry, which is the hard part.
And I, for those in the business, I imagine you get your client buy-in before you go forward on that, to make sure that whatever your metrics will be, that we all understand that before you embark on an effort, I would imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. And then frankly, that's an important part of the whole equation, is to make sure that everyone is comfortable with the way with what's the outcome, what are we shooting for, what are we trying to actually measure,
right?
And then do we actually have the data and the metrics to go measure that, and then actually go in to get the work done. So.
Yeah, it's easy to get that out of the way up front.
Absolutely.
Or certainly easier. You know, we've been talking a long time here on The Advertising Show about the consumer control that marketers live and work in today, and it's a different world than it was just as recent as 10 years ago. And we all know, in a consumer rules world, marketers just can't rely on traditional speaking at type strategy anymore. The marketers of today, the successful marketers anyway, have had to move towards a more collaborative new media approach. Talk a little bit about the new ways of connecting with consumers today, and what you guys recommend for your clients.
Sure, it's another fascinating trend that's going on. I think it's all enabled by by the internet, which is great. But I think if you look at the mushrooming types of media channels out there, social networks, blogs, YouTube, Facebook, virtual worlds, etc. Basically, we're seeing a lot, or CMOs are having a harder time controlling, from a top-down standpoint, their brand impressions and how they can't control that conversation anymore, when it can be happening out in the blogosphere without you being able to control it. So we've kind of coined this notion of brand as network, and really the important part of this on a go-forward basis is that marketers have to understand how to influence without controlling, because If you try to go control my interactions in a blog or in a blogosphere or in a virtual world, it becomes totally transparent, and at the end of the day, you become very unauthentic or unnatural. And so it's really a matter of, how do I influence what's going on in those parts of my network, as opposed to trying to control those parts of my network.
And are we talking about social media like Facebook, or are there other collaborative medias out there?
Yep. I think and there are some great examples of companies out there that have done this really well. I think BMW is a great example that's done a nice job with the Mini Cooper, and that if you go back and look at how they launched that brand and how they managed and got the customer much more involved in understanding and having access to the brand, you know, customizing their own Minis, creating dialogues out there in the blogosphere that allowed customers to interact with members of the design team, etc. So it was a smart way for BMW to build, again, loyalty and brand effect without going out and trying to control that interaction.
Special guest here on the Advertising Show, Andrew Pierce, senior partner at Profit. Got another segment with Andy coming up here in just a moment with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth on the Advertising Show.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here, in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here, in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
See the USA in your Chevrolet. America is asking you to call. Drive your
During
Chevrolet
the break, we were talking about how time flies when you've got such a great guest like Andy Pierce here from Profit. So one more segment. Well, we'll do it. How about that right now? Andy, welcome back to the show.
Thanks.
Yeah, you know, Andy, you talked a little bit about the importance of digital media and so forth, and there was a great article in Ad Age recently about how Gap bailed on their traditional television budget and have moved to focus more in on digital media and have shown a greater profitability as a result. And I think that what was interesting about that is, my goodness, a company known for doing television in a big way and has really had built the brand using television and now has found greater profitability, key word there, in moving and shifting their focus to digital media. Any examples in the 21st century today that you can see out there in the landscape that a company that's just totally missing the connection with their consumer by avoiding any kind of digital media connection because of either a lack of understanding or just, you know, outright just missing the boat?
Well, I have to start by at least clarifying from our point of view. I think when we think about digital media, we're seeing a lot more of digital media becoming one of several mediums that a marketer has or levers that a marketer has to A, build its brand, and B, generate sales. So we're still advocates of the notion that advertising as it's defined today is not going away. The 30-second commercial may not, in fact, be a big driver of brand building in the future, but we see digital media, in particular in digital marketing, becoming one of several mediums to be used to go build a brand.
Right.
So that, and that said, I don't feel that comfortable picking on anyone in particular, but there are, you know, certainly there are winners and losers in every industry that we consult to, some that have adopted the digital media trend a lot faster than others, and I think those that have quote unquote seen the light and seen what digital media can do for not only brand building but also generating sales in a profitable way, as you mentioned, are ones that are starting to see, you're seeing a much more rapid reallocation of their dollars towards the digital media. And I can tell you that's true in the auto space, you know, and you can, it's true in hotels, it's true in healthcare, it's true in luxury goods, it's true in FMCG, it's true in every industry. There are winners and losers in each category.
Yeah, well, I'll weigh in on this. You know, we've talked about being brand-centric and how important it is to these days, as well as being customer centric. But yet, you know, you see a company like Sears, Andy, that is having a hard time, you know, connecting with you know, becoming a brand centric company, I guess. And I'm just curious, you know, with all of the resources a company like Sears has, I don't understand why they can't open themselves up to change to a more 21st century understanding of marketing and consumer strategy today.
I mean, the whole retail space in particular, you know, if you look at how value is migrating, you got the super retailers, high-end luxury retailers that are actually doing reasonably well, and then you've got the category killers, the Walmarts and others, and Targets at the other end, and then those that are quote-unquote stuck in the middle, we're seeing are really struggling, and those are the ones that really have to redefine their brands to become much more relevant. To us, it's a little bit more of a relevance issue than it is necessarily an adaptation of digital media. But something like Sears used to be a highly relevant brand to people, and even its sub-brands, the Kenmores and the other sub-brands that it has within its portfolio, have just lost relevance. Mm. They're just not in people's consideration sets as they used to be.
Yeah, and it just makes you wonder if they're disconnected to their consumer and what their brand was all about.
I thought it was an odd move as well that they picked up Land's End. And Land's End, as a result, is not the same company as it was.
Right. I think, you know, there's a little bit of a function of becoming much more a financially engineered organization, to your point, rather than a brand-centric or a customer-centric, you know, company. So.
Yeah, well, we don't want to let you go in just a few minutes left here in this segment.
About 60 seconds.
60
left.
Seconds. And 60 seconds or less, Andy. How do you see the marketing and media landscape changing, say, in the next, decade?
Well, again, I think it's going to be a really exciting time for marketers, but I think at the same time you need to be a little bit, I can see why marketers are being a little bit nervous about it, because there are really a confluence of things that are happening. Digital media is not going away. Accountability for and measuring return on investments is not going away. And yet the need to build brands is still an important part of a marketer's of their job. So I think really trying to get on top of all of those things at the same time is really what's going to make for world class marketers in the future.
Good summation and a good wrap for a great interview, Andy. You're a busy guy. We know you travel a lot and do a lot of great things for profit. But thanks for taking time out of your business day and your busy life to be with us here.
Hey, thanks very much, guys.
On the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth, we have more for you in just a moment, so stick around.
Smart marketers are discovering a new and better way to get creative solutions. One company got solutions for a corporate identity program in less than 36 hours. The second got solutions for a public relations campaign that won 2 International Creative Awards. The third got solutions for a direct marketing campaign that got a 30% response rate. These marketers are finding creative solutions in a better way, the Open Ad way. You go to openad.net and gain access to a global brain trust of nearly 11,000 creators. Within days, you get 20 or more creative solutions, and you pay only for the solutions you use. It's a radical new idea. You owe it to yourself to discover what it can mean to have creative solutions on demand. Find out now by going to openad.net, openad.net. Creative solutions on demand.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
Glad you're able to stick around a little while longer for the Advertising Show, and thanks to Andy Pierce, Senior Partner at Profit, for being here today. Matt Richtel is coming up next week. Matt is an author, and the book is called Hooked, A Thriller on Love and Other Addictions. So what is he, a counselor, I guess, or something,
he's
right?
He's also a writer for the New York Times, so he's learned how to write in a decent environment.
Such a nice boy.
Yeah.
Talk about a brand. This is funny. The man who designed the container for Pringles potato chips was so proud of his brand, his accomplishment, that he asked his family to bury him
in
one of the cans.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Did they also slice him up and make it real thin and stack him in one little...
They cremated him.
Oh.
Frederick Bauer of Cincinnati died on May 4th. He was 89.
Yeah.
Bauer's children honored his request by burying part of his remains in a Pringles can in his grave in a cemetery in suburban Cincinnati The rest of the remains were placed in an urn buried along with the can. He was an organic chemist, retired, specialized in research, development, and quality control for P&G, also developed frying oils and freeze-dried ice cream for P&G. Ever had that? Not worth it.
No.
The ice cream was patented and marketed but never caught on with the public. Gee, I wonder why. Later, he became a compliance specialist for P&G, traveled around the world inspecting plants. He received a patent for the tube-shaped Pringles container and for the method of packaging Pringles in 1970. The container was his proudest accomplishment.
Hmm.
So there you go. So he's now living, part of him, in a Pringles can.
Hmm.
And you'd probably stay fresh, too.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
Hopefully they would take those ashes and, you know, create some kind of mold and be able to have little thin slices all stacked in one
man,
group. You know, you mentioned Pringles.
Sick.
A friend of mine, Jim Johnson, who I worked with many years ago at another firm, became creative director at Gray New York, and one of his clients while he was there was Pringles, which they handled P&G business. So I'm going to have to write Jim an email and send it out and give him a heads up about how the client has stacked his last stack.
It's stacked against him, right? Something
like
that.
Yeah.
No, my dad invented something when he worked, this is back in the 50s, for Thompson Products, which later became TRW.
Mm.
And it was a machine that was actually purchased by Crayola. It was a dust containment type system for making their crayons and chalk, I guess.
So you got to keep the dust out of the, when you're manufacturing it, you're saying that it removes the dust during that process?
Exactly, yeah. And he invented that, so I thought it was pretty cool. They had a picture and everything of it.
Wow.
It was cool. And we have to take a break here, you know, because we do that from time to time. Gene Bliss, our customer experience. Airlines expect less and pay more. Ain't that a fact?
Welcome to the customer experience, making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome, with your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Gene Bliss.
Wow, are we a long way past those Vaseline glazed promo spots for airlines of days gone by. You know, where the flight attendants are wearing those spiffy hats and white gloves and heels and put a beautiful tray in front of every passenger with coffee in a china cup with a matching china plate and real silverware. Not only do we not expect any food, we've been conditioned to be grateful to have something offered to buy. And buy is the operative word. Want to check your bags at the curb? It'll cost you. Just $2, we thought. Eh, no big deal. But how about charging you for the actual privilege of checking a bag? Beginning in May, United Airlines will charge economy class flyers $25 for their second bag. Spirit and Skybus already charge their customers. Of course, the fuel costs are impacting these decisions for the airlines to pass on these costs. But as a customer, I'm beginning to feel like a sheep. What's next? Having to put 25 cents into a slot to use the airplane bathroom?
This has been your weekly installment of The Customer Experience with Gene Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights for major U.S. market leaders, Gene is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Gene's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to CustomerBliss.com.
On the Advertising Show, Gene Bliss, our customer experience, and good stuff there, as always, with every week we get some great stuff with Gene. Once again, welcome aboard, open ad, to the Advertising Show, and our new feature type person, Shamin Abbas, activist for excellence, is what we heard a little bit earlier in this show.
Yeah.
With Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. And as I said before, next week, I've lost my sheet. Here it is. Matt Richtel, author of Hooked, a thriller on love and other addictions. And we'll find out what that is all about as well.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, in over 350 shows almost that we've done in the past nearly 7 years, this will be the first time we've interviewed a novelist. We've always, you know, always interviewing business writers and media folks, and as far as authors, they're always business books, of course. But this will be our first undertaking of a novel. So, in addition, we'll talk to Matt about various topics that he writes in the technology section of the New York Times. So it's not just about the novel.
Okay, yeah. Good. It's going to be a long interview because it is a novel, folks, okay?
Yeah.
So, like, get some extra Pringles.
Yep.
And maybe another six-pack.
I'm just dying to get some Pringles.
Yeah.
Mm.
Hey, The Advertising Show. Hope you enjoyed it. You can always visit The Advertising Show anytime you want. It's right here at theadvertisingshow.com, powered by Shipple.com and a platform called Tendency, which is an incredibly strong marketing platform. It does wonders, and it also helps your hair lose that gray. I don't know. Maybe it doesn't. No.
Not working.
Also by Advertising Age magazine. Visit online at adage.com and by Captivate Network. You can visit them at captivate.com. Well, next week, Matt Richtel, author of Hooked, a thriller on love and other addictions, with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth on The Advertising Show. This is a Big Radio Midgets production.